During the praise time, did you hear Georgia speak? I wonder, when you heard that, what were you thinking? Did you think about it at all? Or did you just say, wow, that Georgia, she's so smart. She's so biblical. She knows that Bible. As I give my little message today, and it's going to be short, think about what happened this morning during praise. You know, God has spoken to people throughout history. God spoke to Adam in the garden as he walked with Eve in the evening. He told Noah to build an ark. He spoke to Moses from a burning bush. God promised Abraham a son. And when you read the book of Job, he speaks to Job in a plethora of ways. Some very loving, but some very stern. And he spoke to Jonah. Jonah's kind of like me. Yeah, okay. I'm not going there, I'm going there. And we all know what happened to Jonah. Paul heard his voice on the way to Damascus. And I think even more than the voice, because Paul was a very, very intelligent guy. He was well-schooled. He knew his theology. Okay, and when Jesus spoke to him, I'm sure he was thinking, yeah, who is this really? But Paul was also blinded, and I think that made him stop and think, who is this really? Okay. But you know, today, I talk to people and I hear, I don't think God doesn't talk to me. And there's some people that don't even believe God talks to people anymore. Most people want to hear this audible voice from God.
So,
that's what they want to hear. That's what everybody longs to hear, right? Linda, go out and make breakfast. No, that's how we want to hear God, right? We want it from point A to point B. We want it now, we want it fast, and we want it to be without question and without thinking about what he wants us to do. We want it to be direct. It's typical of Americans, right? That's what my daughter wants to hear. You know, we pray a lot. So what did God say to you? God does never talks to me, right? And every morning when I get up and we're on our way to church, he's talking to her every day. She's just not listening because she wants to hear that voice. You know, it reminds me of Cosby and the Noah skit, right? Noah, build an ark. What's a cubit, right? Isn't that the way we are? Well, what do you want? But God can talk to us in an audible voice because he's God. He can talk to us any way he wants. But why can't I and why can't you hear this clear-cut voice then? I'm not going to answer that question because I don't have an answer. It's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't explain to me why God doesn't talk to me in that audible voice. But I do think hearing God speak means different things to different people. And I wonder if we take enough time for us to tune in our frequency to God and actually find him so that we can hear him. And I'll say it again. I wonder if we take time. It's a very valuable resource for us. You know what? And sometimes we just don't use it properly. To some of you and me, it may be I need answers to my life and I need them right now. Or I need you to fix this particular crisis. Oh, and by the way, let me help you because this is what I think we need to do. Okay, and in the end, I want it to look like this. It's like when my wife is talking to me and I'll be doing something else and she says, Bill, I want you to go out and I want you to move the garbage cans from the garage further away because if you don't, the raccoons are running across the top of the garage and jumping on the garbage can and they're getting in there and making a mess. And I hear, Bill, I want you to blah, 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 blah. Right? And then I'll look at her and she'll say, you haven't heard a word I said. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's, now that I think about it, that's kind of the way I treat God too. You know, he starts talking to me and the first thing I hear is blah, 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 blah. And God, he does talk to each one of us differently because we're not cookie cutter Christians. And you know what I'm talking about when I talk about cookie cutters. You know, the second lieutenants that we used to get out of OBC, they read the book, they did all the stuff in theory, and they came and they were going to prove to all of us sergeants that the book was always right and that real life never happened. They couldn't change. This is the way they were. When they came, we knew they were going to be that way, and they're going to be that way until something happened to make them different, okay? But we're not that way. Each one of us is different. Each one of us learns differently, don't we? Some people really like to have videos. Some like to discuss it. Some just like to listen. Some people like to draw it out. But we all learn differently. And our God's big enough to do those things to us so that we can each understand in our own way. I'm going to talk to you today about 8 ways that God speaks to me. And there's just a couple of them that really work well. The other 6 are kind of a random thing. I mean, he speaks me that way, and I think he does it so that he can try to get me better tuned into him. But the other 2 ways when he speaks to me, man, I'm right on it. I got it. I know what's happening. The first way that God speaks to us is through his word. In 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, verse 16, the Bible says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Well, what does that mean? It means, you know what? If we read this word from God, our life's going to be a lot better because it's our guidance to a good life. Through God's word, we hear his instructions and the principles for life. Proverbs 4:13 says, keep hold of instruction, do not let it go, and guard her, for she is your life. The question I have, and it goes for me too, is do we read the word regularly? And a lot of you may read that word regularly. Some of you may not. And when you read it, do you ask God for clarification? What did you just say to me? I don't understand exactly what you said. Do we ask God? Do we talk to God? I hope so, because we expect him to talk to us, right? So do we ask him? Do we ask those hard questions? Hey, what do you mean by that? I don't get it. Do we take some time to ponder those words and see how we can use them in our everyday life to change how we react in our life to a way where we're reacting in a righteous way? Because I think it was Pastor Harry that said it's better to be righteous than right, okay? I'd say this. I would urge you guys just to read. You don't have to read the whole Bible. You have to read a chapter. Read one verse. Just open that Bible up, read a verse, and talk to God about it, and see how it incorporates into your life. I guarantee you, your life will be better for this. The second way that God speaks to us is through his Son. By the way, when I talk about all 8 of these things, you're going to find out it's like a really nicely woven rug. Okay, it really is. When you're done, you go, man, that God is something else. He can do unbelievable stuff. But when Jesus spoke, he had a lot to say to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God had spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he appointed heir over all things. Jesus is the boss. Jesus is God. Through the word of Jesus, we know that we know what the Father's heart is, don't we? Because didn't he say over and over again, if you see me, you see him? And the disciples had to ask over and over again, what are you talking about? But he's trying to explain to them, when you see me and you see how I act and you see what I do, you see the Father. This is how it is. So we're in the word of God, Jesus' word, what he says, God's word, the Bible. We are going to know God. If we live like Jesus lives, our life will become better. It becomes complete. It becomes full. Okay? Because everything that happens becomes important to us. Even the bad things become very important to us. Because in the long run, if we believe that all things work for the good through Christ, there's a learning point there for us. In John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why? Because the sheep know who he is. They belong to him, and they recognize him by the sound of his voice, and he's the one who will always lovingly lead them onto the right path again and again and again. But if we don't hear his words, can we really be his sheep? Can we hear him when he says something, when he calls us? Are we hearing him? Jesus gives us a perfect picture of God and his love. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, so that if we believe in him, that we will have eternal life. We will be reconciled with God. And there's the past when we come to Christ in belief, and the future when we get to live in heaven forever and ever and do nothing but praise and worship. And then there's the now. And what I want you to think about is this. When you come to Christ, when you're in heaven, but there's the in-between. If there wasn't a plan, if there wasn't a reason, when we come to Christ, we should be directly in heaven. Think about it. As Andy so aptly put it a few weeks ago, God uses people to further his kingdom. If we're to be used, then we have to hear. The third way that he speaks to us is through the creation. And you know what? This is the one that I get. You know, when he speaks to me this way, I get it. Since the creation of the universe, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen. Romans 1:20 says, for his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So when you wake up in the morning and you go outside and you see a new snowstorm, or you see the green leaves coming on the tree, or you see something beautiful in the creation, God did that just for you. He's speaking to you. And if you don't believe in God, then come and see me, because I want you to explain to me all the creation. I believe in God, and there's some things that happen in the creation I can't even fathom, because I'm not God. If you go out at night in a dark place where the stars are out there and you can see them, when you look at all those stars, man can't do that. I find it really hard-pressed that somewhere there was a big kaboom and the stars were made and the sun made enough heat on the earth and then a bunch of chemicals got together and sooner or later we became human beings from an amoeba. I just don't see that. You can't even fathom it, okay? How many of you garden? When you plant a garden and you water it and you come back, say a month or two, right, and you see all these plants coming up. For me, it's I go out and I plant flowers, hyacinths, daffodils, right? And then in the spring, and the snow's still on the ground, and all of a sudden, I see the green coming through the ground. And then pretty soon, the hyacinths are up, and the aroma is just, to me, it's like heaven. If I can go to heaven and that's what I smell, I'm in great shape. I'd do anything. I love the smell of hyacinths. But you know what? Later in the spring, they die. They just fall over, turn brown, and they die. But you know what? I don't plant them again. Because in the spring, here they come again. The rebirth is amazing to me. I wonder how that happens. I'm not a botanist, so I don't know. But to me, it's a miracle. When I see a doe in the springtime, and then in May, I see her again, and she's got this little fawn with her that's full of spots. They can hardly walk. They stumble around, and you know, they act stupid. They kick their mother and stuff, I mean, just to play, you know, irritate them a little bit. But to me, that's some beauty that is beyond human thought. And every year it's that way. And the funny thing about deer is, like, that fawn may come in May, or it may not come till June because the winter was so harsh that the snow is on the ground in April, it's very cold outside, and she doesn't give birth. She gives birth when the weather starts to become warm and stays warm for a while. It always happens that way. You very seldom see a fawn in bad weather. Again, God's perfect creation. The ant, right? You ever watch the ants all day long? They go from finding some food back down in the hole, finding some food back down in the hole. And they're always taking something that's 10 times bigger than they are. Industrious little ants that all day long they gather food because they know, guess what? In the wintertime, it's going to get colder. Ain't no food, and we got to have some. They're very industrious. It amazes me. These things, these are the things in creation that amaze me. And I'll go to work in the morning, and I'll see a deer, and I tell my wife, see, God did that just for me because it calms me. It makes me think of him immediately. The fourth way that God speaks to us is through other believers. Have you ever had a believer come up and say something to you, all of a sudden it's like, wow, that person read my mind. Not only did they read my mind, but they gave me some pretty good counsel. And how many of you went to Pastor George for counsel? I don't know if I should do this. Or, you know what, I did this. I don't know if this is right or wrong. And you get some counsel. And the youth, when you go to your parents, and you get counsel, and you get good counsel. And this counsel may come as a warning. Don't do that. And yeah, right. You're an old person, you don't know. Yeah, well, heaven forbid when we were young, we didn't try that stuff too, right? I mean, come on. Or it may come as a blessing. You've got an issue, something's happened to you, and somebody comes up and speaks to you, and it's like they read your mail, they've read your mind, and not only that, but they gave you some great counsel. They said something. It might be something from the Bible, but it might be something just to lift them up that's a believer, you know? And that person's heavy weight has been lifted. Maybe not forever, but for a short period of time. Maybe it's a prophetic truth about life. I don't know. It could be any of those things. And we can choose to hear it, or we can choose to ignore it, and it depends on us. If we're so heavily into ourselves, we probably are going to ignore it because woe is me, pity party on Bill, you know, that type of stuff. But as believers, we should keep our minds open. We should keep our ears open when people speak to us because God would speak through them. And how do we know if it's God's voice? Well, let me give you some tips. God's voice calms, it comforts you, it convicts you, encourages you, it enlightens you, it leads you. and it reassures us. On the other hand, that voice that we hear, we're not sure if it's God's or not. If it obsesses, if it worries, if it condemns, if it discourages, if it confuses you, if it's pushing you someplace that you don't feel like you should be, if it frightens you, if it's rushing you, think about it, because it's probably not God. You know, like I told you before, God can speak any way he wants to. He speaks through people, but you know what? In the Bible, he spoke through a donkey. In Numbers 22:28, says, "Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?'" So, yeah, all these ways I'm telling you God can speak, there's probably a whole lot more, but I'm just giving you some that I know about. But God is God, and he can speak any way he wants to us. I thank God that he speaks to us in love because he created us. Because if we deserved, and we do deserve, to be spoken in a different way, but he doesn't do that because we're his creation and he loves us. God's wisdom is pure and loving, and in the Bible, James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." These are the things when someone is speaking to us, if we are getting this, it's God speaking to us through that person. Bottom line, that we're all his children. God loves us unconditionally, and he spares no expense to us and for us. The only thing that we have to do is believe. The fifth way he speaks to us is through music. If you read Psalms, you know that music is a big part of the way that God speaks to us. Psalms 98:1-6, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Make joyful noise before the King, the Lord." Music has an important part in the communication with God. If you want some more examples, go ahead and jot this down. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And you'll read about Jehoshaphat. I love music. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I love music. And I can tell you that when the music starts, I become calm. Unfortunately, I act like Saul. It's like Saul, you know. I get calm. Music calms me. It enables me to focus on God. And I'm like a computer then. I do a reboot, and everything is gone except God. And that's, to me, that's the perfect place to be. And the sixth way is through circumstances. And this can be very tricky. You got to test your conclusions with evidence to make sure that this is truly something that God has put in our path. He uses circumstances to get our attention. And with me saying that, I'm not going to say anymore. Just think about that. He uses circumstances to get our attention. An example would be Moses. Read about Moses. Read about the circumstances that came upon Moses that made him become a prophet for God. And there's some really horrible circumstances in our lives. There's loss and there's pain. But again, if we believe, and these circumstances are there, and they haven't been taken from us, then there must be a teaching moment for us, and we need to be open and aware of that. But again, it's a choice. We can choose to stay in pain and to stay in loss, or we can choose to speak to him and find out if we don't know what that teaching moment is. Most of the time we know, we just don't want to even mouth it because it's the worst thing that could happen, right? Seventh way is through his Spirit. Have you been thinking about how God talks? I'm going to talk about how he speaks to us through his Spirit. Georgia spoke to us, to this body, as the Spirit moved her. Those were not Georgia's words. Those were the words of the Spirit. I hope we listened, because there was a message there. You know, we always talk about the Spirit. Oh, that still small voice, those quiet whispers. In our society, usually we have to have gongs and amplifiers to get the message. I think it's the same way sometimes with the Spirit, because we just don't tune him in because there's too many other things that we've got tuned in. I go back to when we become believers. When we become believers, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Spirit moves into us. It moves into us. Some of us really hear it and move immediately. Some of us, like Bill, it takes years, decades for it to happen. Okay? But John 14, 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We know him. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So if you're a believer and you're waiting for the Spirit to come, he's there already. Tune it in. Tune it in. All of a sudden, me and my life are not the important thing. It's the Spirit's guidance that becomes important. What did Kyle Eidelman says? Less of me and more of him. And there he got a whole book on that. And that's how it has to be for us. We have to continue to surrender things that we really hold on to. Some of it's painful. You know, some of these circumstances that happen, we won't surrender them. We won't give them up. We hold on to them. And it causes us to become angry and frustrated. And we tune out the Spirit because the Spirit's always trying to talk to us in love, and we're not in love at that particular point in time. God's Spirit speaks to us through our conscience, guiding us into making right decisions. And an example of the Spirit is this. When George stands up here on Sunday and gives a message to all of us here, I would bet you that every individual that walks out of this sanctuary, before they forget what he said, got a different message. What I heard was different than what Georgia heard. What Georgia heard was different than what Jeff heard, because he speaks to us individually, who we are and where we are. The Spirit makes Scripture come alive to each of us because it's truly God-breathed. The Spirit gives each of us a gift to use to further the Father's kingdom. Each one of us has at least one spiritual gift. We all have one. Some people have been gifted with many. Are we using them to further his kingdom? And if you don't know what they are, then you need to find out. Don't be afraid to ask someone. The last way is through prayer. And some of us really communicate with God through prayer. We call those people prayer warriors. They pray. God is answering prayer. God is guiding them. God is leading them. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Not according to our will, but according to the will of God's. When we can't even say words when we're praying. Some people, you know, when you're praying, all of a sudden you hear them go, oh, groaning. They're groaning because they don't know what to say. All they know is that the Spirit's got to work this out, because I don't even know what to say anymore. I don't know how to pray anymore. Okay? And as I said, see how this stuff is all woven together? The Spirit, prayer, Jesus' Word, the Bible, it just comes together like this great rug that's being put on the loom. And sometimes when we're praying, God reminds us of a scripture. And I find that when I'm praying and God reminds me of the scripture and I voice that scripture, that is a very powerful prayer. Stuff happens. It really happens. And sometimes he gives us scripture that turns the light on for us, and we're able to use it and apply it in the situation or in our life. When I begin to pray, and I pray slowly, all the distractions start to fade away when I'm praying. And I'm finally completely tuned into God, and I'm able to communicate fully with him. And I find myself not praying for my stuff. I find myself praying for greater things, for the kingdom. And the other thing that we need to remember is this, Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. He's saying if we come together in a group and pray, that's powerful. And whatever we ask for, not only will it be done here, but it's going to be done there. Whatever we pray is loosed here and in heaven. I've just now started praying a lot with my youngest daughter, and it's been a long time since we prayed together, and it's so rewarding for me. And my wife is now praying with us in the morning, and it's just, it's like a treasure for me, okay? I love this time so much. I cherish this time so much, and I always let God know that. And I would hope that me saying that, maybe it'll spark something. If you're not praying with your wife, if you're not praying with your husband, brothers and sisters, if you're not praying together, pray together. It's powerful. It's powerful. When two or more are gathered, it's powerful. The Bible says this. I believe God is speaking to us all more now even than he did in the Old Testament. In a huge way, and in a, I'd say like a rainbow of ways. I just don't think we listen because we have sensory overload with the way that we seem to be in the grasp of the world. It doesn't make us bad, we're just there, but we need to find a way to get out of that grasp. Because the world does not belong to Christ yet. It belongs to the evil one. So we've got to find ways to take that special resource of time that we have and devote it to Jesus, to God. And if we do that, there's going to be a huge change. There'll be a huge change. It won't be one, it'll be exponentially across the board, because the prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have against the evil one. And this is the evil one's territory. And for years and years and years, we have allowed him to take, and we've only did a little bit of defensive stuff and kept moving back. It's now time to go on the offensive and take back what he's stolen from us. Take back our families, take back our children, take back our neighborhoods, and take back our communities. George spoke about this earlier. Trick-or-treat time is the time that we can actually get to know our neighbors. We don't get to know our neighbors during the week. You know that doesn't happen. pray that God gives us opportunities out there, not here, out there. It's not about us. It's about the world. We're here because God put us here to deal with people out in the world, to bring them to the truth, to reconcile them with God. And he said it. He uses us. Let's take the time to allow him to tell us how he wants to use us. How can we serve you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Let's devote time to the Creator and hear his wisdom and revel in his creation. Take time to really get to know him. I guarantee if you take the time to get to know him, he will come directly to you and speak to you, and he will give you personal instruction on how to live. And you look around in this body, and there's a lot of people in here that can help one another, to strengthen one another. Okay? That we can push out from these doors. God wants us to push out from these doors. We're here every Sunday and we listen to George, and his messages are good and his messages are right and they're true. We should be fully equipped and ready to move out into the community in one way or another. And it, you know what? You don't have to be Paul. You don't have to be Peter. Okay? You don't have to be Andy. You don't have to go halfway across the world. All you have to do is lean over the fence. Right? Talk to your coworker. Instead of looking at him and go, man, that guy's an evil little... I ain't talking to him. Come on, you know that's true. You know it's true because I do that. We got to get over that. You know what? I don't know why I'm in this place. This is the most evil place in the world. Gee, maybe God put you there to be his light. And maybe he put you there to be his light until you are his light, and then he'll move you somewhere else. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. If we work for God, we have to accept what he wants to do for us. How do you want your children to look at you? How do you want to be remembered when the day comes that you're called back to heaven? These are the things that we struggle with them, and we have to kind of balance them out and come to grips with them. We are children of God. God is so powerful, nothing can overcome him. He's more powerful than the one that's here on earth. He's more powerful than the evil one. I want you to remember this, okay? I want you to take this with you today. I want you to think about what I said, because it's so important. It's so important. We can make a difference. We should make the difference. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, that you've given us a chance, Lord, to hear your words today. I am so grateful that you showed us an example of your Spirit moving in the body this morning, Father. And I'm so grateful that you gave me this message when you gave it to me, because it's perfect. Just as all your messages are perfect. I would ask, Lord, that the Spirit would convict each one of us to think about what you've said today and think about where am I and where am I to go and how do I get there? And that will initiate conversation with you, Father. And it will put us on the right road. It will give us truth. It will give us light. And we'll give it to everybody. Because we are your children. Father, I want you to be with this body this whole week. Strengthen them. Be with them. Keep them safe. Bring them back fresher, stronger than they were today. And Father, as I pray these prayers, I lift up George and Beth and his whole family to you, Lord. And I thank you, as the body thanks you, for giving us such a strong pastor, such a man of God, where we can always see the reflection of Christ off of him, where he lives his word. We're so blessed. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.